Well, prior to the feast, I handed out a study paper for you to take to the feast to think about. And the question was, are you ready to rule? Because we have been promised to be kings and priests. While we cannot foresee all the actual conditions we will inherit, nor know all the possible applications and variances we'll have to address. But right now you are being handed out the questionnaire plus the suggested answers and principles. Now these are not official teachings of the church, but just given as possible principles and applications. Because Jesus taught, as we saw when I was here before, that growth and increase is what he expects, such as in the parable of the pounds. The cities and peoples that you will inherit as under your cities will have gone through 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation and many other trials. They will be traumatized and crushed by the events previous to that. Society will have totally collapsed. So it will be our task to bring the times of refreshing. Now, in your paper that you received, once you go through it and read it, you'll notice a lot of examples from the Old Testament. That is simply because God was building a nation at that time. It was not necessary in the New Testament for him to give all the laws and the statutes and the judgments. And we will be also rebuilding and refreshing society. In question one, the immediate challenge you're going to face is to bring comfort, support, and the basic needs to your people. In the hints section on the back of the pages, you'll see a little pyramid, which is Maslow's pyramid of needs for humans. And we'll be starting at the bottom and working up. The principle that we'll be needing to do is to give comfort to the people. We may also have to feed them miraculously, just as God fed Israel in the wilderness by giving them manna. We don't know, but given what we can foresee, the world will be in very bad shape. In question number two, what would be the next step? Well, you want to establish a presence where people can see you and know where you are. God gave the example as Israel was going out of Egypt in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire at night. We may have to establish a visual presence in the cities that we're in. In question three, after we've done that, what would be next? What would your people need next? Well, the answer to that simply is to do a survey. Even God set the principle in that when the three angels came to Abraham and were going on to Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it. So even God had to go check things out. We'll have to do the same, so that we can find out for sure what's going on in our five cities. Because they may not be a city here, a city here, a city here, a city here, where they're contiguous. They may be in five different time zones around the world. We don't know. In question number four, you've increased your awareness of the needs of the citizens. What else is needed? You'll notice there that we will have to refresh the earth and the climate, bringing rain in due season and those kind of things, just because the world will have been devastated. In question number five, what would be the next major step to bring your citizens out of chaos? Remember, society has collapsed. Your people have gone through the Great Tribulation. They have gone through the plagues and the woes. How are you going to bring your people, 20,000 per city, according to the scenario, out of chaos? Well, you'll have to form an organization for your cities and your people. That was established in the Old Testament by Moses in the captain system. That's one way to do it. In Corinthians, Paul writes that let all things be done decently and in order. So we need to think. That's why we've done this little exercise. We need to think ahead, because we just can't walk in to a situation and not be prepared. That's like going to college when you failed kindergarten. Right? If you're not ready, you're going to fail. God doesn't want failures. In question six, it has multiple answers. And some of it is in the hints that I gave you. But it's such as, what statutes, ordinance, and regulations would you establish? Or cite a regulation about farming? Or cite an ordinance about property and land division? They're in there. Have you read them lately? You have the examples now. Please do so, because you will maybe have to make those kind of judgments later on. In question number seven, what major step towards civil and economic improvement would you need to implement for the entire population? The answer is simple. Teach the laws and statutes of God. You want to turn people's attention and activities away from competition, which is Satan's way. Turn it away from war. Turn it away from the American affliction, self-indulgence. Our focus should be on instilling cooperation, collaboration, love, and respect for all mankind. Satan and the demons will have been put away for some time, but yet people are going to take a while to refocus, to learn, to change. In question eight, one of your cities is rioting over food. How would you handle that? Now you may say, I'll wipe them out. Get rid of them. Get rid of the troublemakers. Remember, you only have 20,000 people per city. If you were to destroy 1,000, you've just lost 5% of your population. You can't do that too often and still have a city. Again, these are principles. I've given you a couple. But have you ever seen anybody riot in a rainstorm? Have you ever seen anybody riot when they're afflicted with boils all over their body like Job was? Or, as one of the examples, in darkness, where they can't see where they're going and what they're doing. It won't happen. In question number nine, God's form of government will be different than what your people have experienced. How would you handle rebellion against your authority? How did God handle rebellion against Moses' authority? Do you remember the story about Miriam? It's there. That's a good principle. Nobody is going to rebel when they turn into a leper. Also, God afflicted the Philistines when they captured the ark and set it up in front of their god Dagon. Not only did their god suffer, but they suffered. If you read the Old Testament, God afflicted the people with emerods. In the New King James, it says tumors. But if you look at it, it could very well be interpreted and understood as hemorrhoids. Not a pleasant thing. Korah and his followers rebelled against Moses, rebelled in effect against God, and the earth swallowed him in an earthquake. However, like I said, you can't just go around willy-nilly wiping people out. If there's only maybe 10% of the population left in the world, it would diminish very quickly. You may have to in an extreme case. We don't know. The world's economy will be in shambles. The great horror that we know of as the commercial system will have been destroyed. But after a few years, things will start picking up. People are ingenious and they will start producing. What should be your long-term goal of your economic efforts in your five cities? You have to have a vision somewhere where you want to take people. This is question number 10. Well, there's going to be billions of people resurrected in the second resurrection. They need clothes, houses, educational systems, transportation, etc. There's a lot to do in 1,000 years, besides rebuild everything, but to get things rolling. Because we know in Revelation 20, Jesus says, the rest of the dead will live again after the 1,000 years are finished. So these billions will need everything that we have, except the corruption and the sin and things like that. We, as co-workers with Jesus, need to prepare for them and engage our citizens in creative work. See, our God has purposes and plans for all mankind, past, present, and future. It is our privilege to be chosen by Him and to prepare ourselves to work with Jesus upon His return in whatever capacity and position He sees fit to give us. David said he would be happy just to be a doorman in the kingdom of God. How about a janitor? Let us now go on thinking about these things. I mean, these things don't go away. This is where we're going. Maybe not in the details that I've given you, but somewhere down the line, a lot of this has to be done. And who is going to do it? So let us go on and prepare, thinking about these things and studying, that we can be the profitable servants Jesus Christ expects us. So we can hear the wonderful statement that Christ gave, that commendation saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful or profitable in a little, and I will give you charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.